Welcome back to Can We Fix It? And considering that the coronavirus is out of fucking control in Rhode Island, joining me via phone call is Jason Hypeman Royce. How you doing, my friend? Congratulations on your announcement this week, which if you want to share with the listeners who haven't heard.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for having me again. But as reported, it's no secret now, going to be working on Gonzalo Cuervo's mayoral campaign here in the city of Providence. It's really exciting stuff. And, you know, I know, you know, the election in 2022, and for some folks, you know, it seems like, you know, a couple of years away, which obviously it is, but campaign-wise, you got to start, you know, building the team now and getting the organization ready now. So I'm really excited about that, and I look forward, you know, to what's at hand with us in the future. So we'll see.
I do too, and I happen to know that Gonzalo is a listener. So Gonzalo, you better be paying this man that beautiful wedding to Heidi, that princess wedding that she wants. He's not going to pay for itself. You better be paying this man. So hey, that was a big sister aside. We're good. So we're going to talk about COVID a little this week. We've managed to go this far without having to discuss it, but denial is not just a river in Egypt, and we can no longer pretend that it's something we can gloss over. So what the fuck is going on, dude? Like, what did Rhode Island just collectively decide that COVID was not a thing anymore? Like, what happened?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, right? I mean, with the recent reports coming out, that Rhode Island is the most, or has the highest infection rate in the entire world, right? It's really crazy. I just think it's really just mismanaging. I think that's the reason why, you know, we have such a, you know, crazy increase in COVID cases throughout the state. I think it just really falls down to the management of this pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm so bummed out because, like, early on, I was really singing the praises of Governor Raimondo because she was fucking doing a bang up job.
Yeah,
and then I don't know what happened. She just decided one day that, like, nah, fuck that. The economy is more important. I don't care if people die.
Yeah, it's really, really, really tough because I'm right there with you, right? In the beginning of the year, you know, with the whole knock it off movement, it was so impactful and it was just really great. You know, to see our state really on a national level, really just how to handle this pandemic. And, you know, like you said, right, I mean, she's at this point, she's kind of put like profit over people. And you see, that's why we're really in a position we're in now.
And she's not even being subtle about it, which is what really frustrates me, right? Is that like,
she doesn't give a damn.
I was actually having a conversation about lobbyists earlier in the week where, like, listen, we all know that lobbyists have more influence over who gets elected to what seat than they should have. But there has been this, like, level of secrecy to it over the years that is, I mean, for lack of a better word, respectful, right? Like, they knew that what they were doing was gross and shady, and so they did it quietly. And I feel like ever since Donald Trump, even our team has turned into these people that are like, oh no, apparently we don't have to put a lot of like effort into pretending we're not pieces of shit. We can just be pieces of shit and that's fine. And
yeah,
for me, the realization on that one was when Governor Raimondo started the fucking pause after
Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah, that was a little crazy. A little crazy.
We're not even trying to hide it.
Yeah, I am. When the news came out about that, I was just really in disbelief. Like, I think my jaw literally dropped. Because you know, you would think, right? I mean, during holidays, we all want to get together with our family members. We all want to get together with our friends, maybe through a Friendsgiving or whatever. And, like, this is a time where, again, everyone gets together. Like, you would think, like, just take Black Friday out for a second. You would think that we put restrictions on prior to Thanksgiving, because this is, it's just, it was just a complete mess prior to the holidays. To the holidays came in full effect. And now where we're at now, it's just awful. And then you put on Black Friday, and it's just, again, this is just really profit over people. And then she has the nerve, you know, when reporters are asking her about why, like, COVID is just so bad in Rhode Island, she has the nerve to start, you know, blame, you know, her constituents, right, Rhode Island residents. That's the reason why you're section rate. And I get that those, like, you know, folks are certainly not abiding by, you know, the social distancing. They're not wearing a mask and stuff like that. But, you know, you got to put some blame on yourself, and you got to take some ownership. And that's what she's unfortunately not doing that.
How are you going to keep restaurants and non-essential businesses open and then complain when Rhode Islanders go to them?
No, I agree.
Close them. Like,
I agree.
Oh, goodness gracious. So, well, what we're going to do, actually, is we are going to play Dictator of Rhode Island, because I have so many things that I feel like, Dictator Maura would have this coronavirus under control. So why don't we go one for one, okay? I'm gonna start with schools. I think that we all know that schools are a huge source of the transmission right now. And kids, while adorable, are fucking killing everybody, because they're not getting sick, they're just passing it to every teacher, janitor, parent, caregiver, whatever. And I think that right now, our current governor refuses to send the kids home because she knows that one of two things would have to happen. Either we would have to get really fucking cool with child neglect all of a sudden, right? Like all these essential worker parents just being like, okay, I know you're only five, but like, you're on your own, my friend. Or she would have to pay parents to stay home with their kids. So as dictator of Rhode Island, what I would do is I would give everybody whatever the amount from their last state income tax was, I would give everybody another check for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the metric we would use it by, so that you could just have a number to go by for everybody, right? But whatever your state refund was for taxes, you get that check right now, period. Because you got to assume that our budget has that in it, right? And I'm not assuming that these people are going to have to pay that back. I'm just saying, in terms of wiggle room, what's a month? And we're already paying the teachers, right? Maybe pay them a little bit more, because distance learning is a goddamn nightmare. But pay the parents to stay home and teach their kids at least until the new year.
Yeah.
That's dictator move number one. What's your number one?
So I would, for one, I think dictator move number one for me is just not arresting anyone that, you know, commits a non-violent crime, right? I think you look at what's happening in the ACI right now. I believe it was reported about 900 positive cases have come out the ACI. And I think about
89% of inmates at the ACI have coronavirus, my brother included.
Crazy. Yeah. So I would think about 600 residents of the ACI and about 200 staff members or something like that. And I know the, you know, Black Lives Matter Rhode Island chapter, you know, held a protest or something along those lines outside of the ECI this week about it. So that's one thing I would certainly do. And just to really, you know, piggyback off what you were saying regarding the schools, you know, I know Governor Raimondo right now, I believe she's offering a crew to go over to conduct like asymptomatic testing outside of any of the schools that they're requesting testing, just to, you know, play nice with teachers and stuff. But I agree with the school point. I think we should really close down our schools, especially in Providence, close down our schools and, you know, go back to distance learning. And my beef all along has just been, you know, we have, you know, Ride has just focused on mastering this, you know, this plan, this reentry plan, and trying to, you know, do what they can to get kids back in school. And what they didn't do was really work with our teachers and our families and with our students on how to really better social, distance learning and remote learning. That's something that they didn't do, and it shows.
Yeah, they had no plan B.
None.
They had no backup plan at all.
Go ahead.
And honestly, even if the distance learning was a little more flexible, right? Like, if you made it so that the kids didn't have to be in a fucking Zoom meeting with their teacher every day, then parents could still work and teach their kids. They would just have to find childcare for whatever hours they worked. But when you say to every single parent in the state of Rhode Island, you know, 8 to 3, you got to be available, like, you're fucking a lot of people over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really unfortunate. I mean, I think, and really, the word unfortunate is just really an understatement of what this clusterfuck, like, that's actually a better word, clusterfuck, that's better, because that's really just what it is. This is what it is, it's just a clusterfuck.
And for me, as a former waitress, I would say fuck the restaurant industry, just in general, but right now in particular. I think that asking wait staff to come in for $3.89 an hour, mm-hmm. to a building that is at 30% capacity, which basically guarantees that they're not even going to make minimum wage, and then expose them to customers day in and day out, like, that is morally repugnant to me. If you think that you can handle, you know, a kitchen staff well enough, 2 or 3 guys, you test them, you do the thing they do at City Hall where they take your temperature before you're allowed to come in, you know, that whole that whole thing. You can still do takeout and have people, you know, get takeout and delivery and stuff. But the fact that we have indoor dining and that we are paying people with families $3 an hour to expose themselves to the literal plague is disgusting to me. And I would send all of those people home and have all of them eligible for unemployment. And, you know, it's interesting to me that we are willing to go into debt for stupid shit like the Paul Sox Stadium, but we're not willing to go into debt to, like, prevent people from fucking dying. Like, that, mm-hmm. that blows my mind, because I remember reading that toss-off bill and how outrageously expensive it was and how many years we would have been on the hook to pay for that. And they had no problems with it. But now that it comes to Rhode Islanders' actual lives, like, you know, it's a take it or leave it kind of thing. Like, oh, well, we have to protect the rainy day fund. Go fuck yourselves.
Remember last
week I said that I was going to use the F word less? I think that was a very brief. that was a short-lived experiment.
You know what? Next week's a new week, and we can try. We can start next week. it's pretty shitty. I mean, I do feel bad for the small business community. I really do. You know, I hear stories of folks that have, you know, spent their entire lives, you know, creating this small business or whatever industry that they're in, and now it's like kind of falling apart in front of your eyes because of COVID. But I mean, we need to do a bit better job at supporting our small businesses. I think on a national scale, we should really put a lot of blame on the corporations and shit like Amazon that, like, has thousands of, you know, positive cases coming out of their facilities, and we should really be doing something with that and holding them more accountable. And even in Rhode Island as well, like, you know, I have friends that work at Sprint, and one of their coworkers tested positive, and their manager was just like, oh yeah, don't worry about it though, like, we're gonna still be open, no one take a test, totally, like, optional, you don't have to do it. And my friend's like, yeah, it's really fucking crazy. I'm definitely going to take a test, and I'm not going back to work for at least 2 weeks.
Dude,
so.
I've had a couple of friends who got positive COVID tests, got sent home, and their jobs don't require them to have a negative test to come back. They just like stayed home for a few days and then just went back to work. And I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Like, no. No.
Yeah, if now instead of like this like quote unquote pause, which like didn't really pause shit, like I don't know what we're pausing, but like we should have had like a total lockdown. At least like if we're gonna have, you know, do something for 2 weeks, go on a total lockdown. And we certainly, it's just an embarrassment, right? Like we're fucking the smallest state in the country and we have the highest infection rate. And I get it, like, you know, we're a smaller state, so folks are a little bit more, you know, we're together, it's a little bit more, you know, there's a lot less land and more people, and I get that, but I mean, we're above New York City. We're above New York City. Like, you know how awful it has to be above New York City? It's crazy.
I know. Well, what's your
That's
next
your fault,
move,
Maura. Maura, it's your fault.
What did I do?
I don't know. I just want to blame you.
It would be my fault, but right now we'll just blame Gina. And honestly, she is as close as we've ever gotten to dictator of Rhode Island because there's no legislative session or anything right now. Oh my God, side note. Okay, sorry to the listeners who have to deal with my like squirrel ADD brain. But obviously, another piece of news that we all found out this week is that Representative Maura Walsh gets one more budget. Oh, buddy.
who allowed that? That's awful.
I have no idea. That was a terrible, terrible decision on their part. But they got real sneaky. It's not like 21 articles like it usually is. It's like four. They like crammed everything into four articles. So I got to like really pour through this thing to figure out where they put what. But don't think I won't, bitch. I got nothing but time on my hands. So, yeah, I'm real psyched about that. That's going to be fun. I wonder if Nick is going to go. Do you think Mattiello is going to go or no?
Probably not. I don't see why he would. That'd be great, though. I would love for you to take like a selfie or something with him. Just like an exit selfie. That'd be like the greatest selfie in the world.
I texted him day of and welcomed him to retirement. I don't know, it's weird, he didn't answer.
Just give him like a new Trump tie.
I know. That's the new thing that I'm like super excited about is next week I get to do one final budget to rule all the budgets. I was telling Lyanna Kassar, maybe I'll bring props or like Facebook live stream it. I have no idea. There's so many options.
Like a live podcast.
Live podcast. Crack open a beer. Let's do this.
But yeah, well, since you're no longer like an elected official anymore, and I know like when you're in the House, you used to get blamed for shit that wasn't even like your fault. I feel like I'm going to now, you know, I'm going to keep humbling you, and I'm just going to keep blaming you for shit. So like COVID's your fault.
I honestly tell everybody about the day that you and I were joke fighting and you sent me a screenshot of my name in your phone as former Representative Walsh. Oh, buddy.
I'm an ass. I'm so sorry.
You're a little brother. That's it. You're a little brother through and through. Listen, all right, we're co-dictators.
Yes.
And
right,
I just sent the whole restaurant industry home. The cooks, I mean, if they can handle the cooks, they can handle the cooks, but waitresses are not working for $3 an hour. What's your next move?
My next move. So, all right, so we have the schools down, we have the restaurant industry down, we also have like criminal justice stuff down. I think my next move, it would be, so I could do anything, right?
There's no Senate, there's no House.
Okay. All right. So I would go like total, like 1984, like George Orwell, like stuff. Like I would fucking like, This sounds crazy. I know, but bear with me.
Whatever,
but like,
we're dictators. Let's do
I
this.
I would put like a tracker in like masks and like distribute masks across like the entire state, just making sure that anytime someone leaves their house or goes anywhere, they have that mask on. And if they don't, then like something's gotta happen to them. I don't know what. I'm still talking to my people about this, but you know, I think I'm gonna go
the
for like
total, ban.
Yeah, yeah, no. I'm going after those anti-maskers. Oh yeah, those
well,
anti-mask.
What that would do though is that if somebody had COVID, then you could just trace wherever their mask was for like the week prior and alert everybody else whose masks were in that vicinity. That would be your new contract tracing.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna go a little bit more extreme, but yeah, no, absolutely. That sounds great. That sounds like the most progressive, like authoritarian thing I've ever heard
right?
in my life, and I
Listen,
love it.
We can be benevolent dictators. We don't have to be like nictators. We can be. that's smart. You know what I want one of those temperature checker things at
okay.
the beginning of every establishment, because like people are fucking liars.
Mm-hmm.
People are fucking liars, and I don't trust, like, you ever seen some of them bitches coughing in the supermarket and I'm like, that better be a weed cough, old lady.
Oh,
that
it's the worst. But you yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, no, it's the worst. Like I'm like terrified of like sneezing outside of my house. Like even if I'm like in the street walking and I just sneeze, I just feel like all eyes are on me. It's like, dude, like relax. Like I just gotta sneeze.
For like clearing my throat, like I'm a cigarette smoker. So like every once in a while when I like clear my throat, I feel all these piercing eyes on my like on the back of my head. I'm like, I'm fine. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. Oh, your turn now. Your turn. I just had the George Orwell
crackers in everybody's mask.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
So here's the thing: we definitely have to figure out how to help the nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why it's going as crazy as it is in there. Aside from the fact that, like, obviously it's staff, right? Because they're the ones that are leaving. All right. So here's what we do is we, first of all, we test all the nursing home staff and then we like put them up in a fucking hotel or something next door because the hotel industry is fucked right now anyway, right? So
mm-hmm.
that like they're in a bubble like the NBA and they get extra money for being in that bubble. But, oh, by the way, money is no object here because, like, we're dictators. We'll just take it from the rich. Like, fuck taxing. Like, no, that's ours now.
What do you think?
Like, if we actually, like, quarantined the nursing home staff the way that, like, you know, medical workers are doing or, like, nurses and doctors, like, they're not fucking going home to their families. Like, they're all quarantining. If we did that with nursing home staff, I feel like we could handle COVID in the nursing home because the old people are not leaving, right?
Yeah, no, they're chilling. They're there to stay. Like they're not going anywhere.
And we pretty much established at this point that it's not surfaces that we're catching it from, right? Like it's very mm-hmm. unlikely that, you know, I got it on my wallet or whatever, and you touching my wallet is going to give you COVID. It's fairly clear that it's, you know, prolonged exposure, prolonged being like 20 minutes, to coronavirus air particles, like particles in the air. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, that would be my guess, is that if you just like, if you quarantined the nursing home staff, that's mandated now, just that, because those old people are like, we are really playing fast and loose with their lives.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. We're gambling here. So I think the next thing I would do, as a dictator, I think I would, because I mean, food insecurity is like a real thing right now, right? I mean, I know
yeah.
it's a nonprofit, the Elijah Project. George Ortiz, he's doing a really great job. They're feeding about 37,000 people a week, and. And which is like fucking crazy, like, right? Like, I mean, 37,000 people need food a week. Like, that is just mind-boggling, right? So food insecurity is like a real thing. So I think I would, I don't know what I would do with that. I mean, that's going to be tough. I mean, I think I would create urban gardens in every, not that like I'll do shit, but like, you know, as a start, create like an urban garden or a garden in every single neighborhood. And I don't know, but like, I would fucking like, you know, I think I know what I'm going to do. Ready? So because okay. I am a dictator and I get to do whatever I want, I'm going to get Jeff Bezos, right? Just to give Rhode Island, just give me like $2 trillion, right? It does absolutely nothing to you. Just give me $2 trillion. And with that $2 trillion, I'm going to make sure every single Rhode Islander is fed and has food in their homes until like the end of the pandemic or until the $2 trillion runs out. I think that's what I'm going to do. I think it's a good start. I don't know. I just came up with that number at the top of my head. I don't have no clue, like, what $2 trillion will do. I don't know if that's enough, but $2 trillion certainly sounds like a lot to me.
It does.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going
more
after
than the Rhode Island budget, so.
I think I'm going to keep going after Jeff Bezos. I think every suggestion I have after this is going after Jeff Bezos, but keep going.
See, and for me, I'm staying local, right? And I want all that chiropractor money back.
Oh, so, come on.
I don't know the background on this. For the last decade or so, there has been one very lucky chiropractor in the city of Cranston who was just, I don't know if he was in the right place at the right time or just friends with all the right people. And he was getting $1 million out of Rhode Island's taxpayer funding every year for 10 years. Now, supposedly it was directed to this thing called CID, cortical integration therapy. I know way more about this than I want to, by the way, because I dug like really fucking deep into this thing when it happened. So this chiropractor, Dr. Victor Pedro, very quack sounding. Not a lot of other doctors have a whole lot of opinions on cortical integration therapy because they've never fucking heard of it before. And yet, this man got probably $10 million from the state of Rhode Island over the course of a decade. Not to mention the money that he was getting from Medicare and Medicaid, because he was billing them for these CIT services, which were not federally recognized and therefore were not refundable by the federal government. And I wanna be clear just so that I don't get sued, because all of the people involved in this are lawyers and Frank Montanaro, because whenever something goes wrong in the state of Rhode Island, Frank is right there. Dr. Victor Pedro happened to also donate max donations to every prominent political person every campaign cycle, every year. $1,000 to Nick Mattiello, $1,000 to Senate President Ruggiero. I'm pretty sure Jim Langevin got money. Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Governor George McKee, Dan. Such a forgettable motherfucker. Dan McKee got money. Joe Shikarchi got money. Everybody got $1,000. Like the Oprah Winfrey of chiropractors. You get a grant. And we're supposed to not connect these two things, right? That like we gave him $1 million and then he gave $1,000 to all these different people. We are not allowed to put the then in there because like that's too far a leap. But maybe it was the fact that he had $1 million extra dollars that made him feel financially comfortable enough to make the kind of contributions that he was making. So I think that we should just, you know, $1,000 at a time, get all that money back and use that $10 million towards food insecurity. Again, just staying local. I don't think I'm dictator of the United States. I think I'm dictator of Rhode Island. And I would love to shake Dan McKee upside down until all that change falls out of his pocket.
Okay. All right. You ready? So two things I think I would do, just to follow up on that. One, all right, so I think I want, let me go back to being a local dictator. Ready? I think, one, I would like for John DePietro, actually I would force John DePietro to be the face of like a mask campaign, like wearing your mask. I think I would do that. I would just force him, because I think it would be great just to see him just be so awful and just...
Him and Justin Price.
Yeah, I'm doing that. So I think that's one. But then two, just, you know, shaking down people that kind of fucked over our state and city of Providence, I think I'm calling up Kurt Schilling. And I'm going to get him and his bloody sock to pay back all of the money that he owes the state of Rhode Island and the city of Providence. And all of that money is going to go to our parents in the Providence Public School District. And, it's, you know, it's going to be there to support them during COVID and stuff like that, to help with childcare.
Yeah. Fuck it. You know what else I want to do? I want to put a limit on how much money you can have in your campaign account. And then anybody who's over that limit, they just got to give that money to the budget.
I dig it. I like it.
It's a $15,000 a year job. You should not be spending $350,000 fucking dollars to win that seat. That's insane. That's insane.
Well, I mean, in his defense, you know, he I have no defense.
He wanted it real bad.
No, I don't even think he wanted it real bad. There's literally no defense for him. I have nothing for it. God bless
that
man.
Gotta,
shout out to everyone.
Listen, as I said on this show, we punch up, okay? And that's just like a sad old man from Cranston now who lost, and we can't, that's punching down now. Oops. That's not nice.
Nope.
That's not nice. All right, well, here's the thing. Let's wrap it up, because I feel like basically we co-dictator solved COVID. I mean, like, you're welcome, Rhode Island.
I'm pretty sure Rhode Island has the lowest infection rate in the world now. Thank you, Maura, Dictator Maura, and Dictator Jason.
Is that Dictator Maura and Dictator Jason aren't going to then sit back and rest on our laurels and be like, well, we did it, guys. We crushed COVID until we actually fucking crushed COVID, Governor. Oh, my God. I feel like that's a lot of what happened, right? Is that everybody was like, Gina, you're doing a great job. And she was like, oh, we're done? Cool, we're done.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
So overall, we sent all the kids home, and we paid their parents to teach them, and we paid their teachers more money to come up with their virtual learning programs by selling Kurt's bloody sock and collecting all the money that he literally owes us to pay for that. Then we told police officers to stop arresting people for nonviolent offenses.
Yep.
And we released nonviolent offenders from the ACI so that we weren't basically banishing everybody to COVID jail.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
What else did we do?
That's what else. I think we've done a lot.
Industry home.
Restaurant industry. They're in COVID pay. They're home banking. We talked about food insecurity.
Yeah,
we're gonna solve that.
We're feeding every Rhode Islander until the end of the pandemic or the end of the money, whichever comes first.
Okay. John DePietro is going to be the face of like a mask campaign. I would certainly love that.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it.
Oh, and the nursing home.
The nursing
and
home.
And quarantining the nursing home staff.
Yes.
So that they wouldn't give old people COVID.
Actually, Maura, I have a question, and I think this might be good content for the podcast. So this is something that I've been struggling with, and I don't want to, you know, appear to be like a Trump supporter or like an anti-vaxxer or anything, but I'm a little skeptical about taking a vaccine, a COVID vaccine. I just don't know what the long-term effects of this would be. I don't even know what the short-term effects of this would be. And I'm just a little bit skeptical. Talk me through it. Convince me to take one.
Well, I mean, this is tough because if we're co-dictators, I imagine I can't dictator over you because we're co-dictators. So I can't just be like, just take the fucking vaccine.
It's kind of stalemate at that point.
Okay. So I'm going to be the mean mom right now. And this isn't just directed at you. This is directed because I've seen a lot of people on my social media answering no to the question of would you take the vaccine? Okay. Unless you can honestly tell me that you read every fucking ingredient on your cereal box, that you have never purchased weed from a non-dispensary location, that you've never put things that weren't technically supposed to go up your nose, or into your veins, or whatever your method of consumption was, I don't want to hear jack shit about how we are scared of the vaccine. Yes, it is very frightening to be in this uncertain time. It is very unsettling to not know what comes next. I personally am like a real cave person when it comes to medicine, and I'm always like, you know, very skeptical and worried and whatever, but I'm going to get this vaccine because I'm not trying to kill my fucking mother. And as I mentioned earlier, I smoke cigarettes. I cannot pretend that my health is so goddamn valuable to me that, like, I wouldn't put some foreign substance in my body. And I'm willing to bet that 90% of the people who are saying no to the vaccine also are not that particular about what they put in their bodies. So I would say we have to have a consistent level of thinking. And unless you're a fucking vegan who only, you know, like, eats, like oats and fucking granola that were grown in Pawtucket, like, I would say you put shit into your body all the time. You have no idea where it came from, and you just trust that it's safe for you because somebody told you it was safe for you. Doctors are telling us this is safe for us. It's safe for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of convinced me here, right? As you're talking, like, I literally, like, eat hot dogs and Spam for, like, breakfast. And I'm just like, oh, right, that's kind of disgusting. So,
I eat
all right, yeah,
I'm cheese, and I'm positive that that's mostly plastic.
Yeah. So, all right. So it sounds like I'm going to take the vaccination. All right. That's good to know. Yeah. Thank you so much, Maura.
Think about it this way. It's like people like you and I, you know, who are younger, we're going to be getting it way later than everybody else. So they'll be working out the kinks on our parents and stuff. My dad will get the weird vaccine that gives you like hives. By the time it gets to people like us, like, they'll work that shit out. Sorry, Dad.
I dig it.
Although my dad is already convinced that millennials created COVID to kill off all the boomers.
You know what, though? Honestly,
it sounds mad plausible, right?
It might be true. I don't know. I don't know. We're going to have to ask Millennial RI about that.
Oh, my God. Yes. I'm sure it all originated in Rhode Island. all right. So, as those of you who are listening can tell, Jason is not here today. Even we are going virtual. This man who has been in my, like, social bubble for the last however many years at this point. So, you know, if I have to not see Jason, you guys have no excuses. In the meantime, Jason, keep up the good work with Gonzalo. Gonzalo, pay this man.
We already talked about that, and the only agreement that we have is if he wins, when he gets inaugurated, he's gonna have the Pittsburgh Steelers flag right over City Hall. We're gonna fly the Steelers flag. Like, I'm ready for that, and so that's really like, yeah. So that's
oh,
where
buddy,
yeah. So we agreed with that, and that's what really sold me. So
he's gonna
really
be like a one-term mayor. Then is that what you're saying?
No, if he's going to have the Steelers flag, he might be the mayor forever. And if he ever loses, we're just going to challenge the vote. So, I mean, I already have a plan B. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, okay, so if we weren't going to talk about COVID, I really wanted to talk about how Anne Armstrong has now changed her Twitter handle to Governor-elect
Governor-elect Anne Armstrong.
But I didn't think that we could make a full episode out of that. But if we could just briefly touch on the fact that, like, first of all, this wasn't even a gubernatorial year. So does she think that we're going to do a recount from 2 years ago? Because, like, babe.
Babe. You know, it's crazy. It is crazy. God bless her. I wish her nothing but the best. Clearly, she was high when she, you know, put that stuff on her Twitter. God bless her. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that next.
Yeah, I want to do a full episode of the people who won't take no for an answer. People who have, like, lost repeatedly and then just, like, kept running and running and running. The Dave Nortons of the world, if you will. But next week is actually going to be a year-end wrap-up, unless the budget happens to be particularly exciting. We'll see. So start thinking of your favorite weird things that happened this year, and we'll go over, like, we'll do our end-of-the-year recap. In the meantime, the podcast is now basically available everywhere. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Patreon, as always, where you can visit patreon.com/canwefixit and become a patron of the show, answer polls as to what upcoming episodes should be, and, you know, just overall commentate on what's going on in Rhode Island today. Stay safe. Wash your fucking hands and go be a good neighbor.
That's right. Dun, 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 dun.